Our next guests are Sanctuary Kitchen cooks Jonathan Siegel and Intaba Liff Anderson. And Jonathan and Intaba are regular volunteers in the Sanctuary Kitchen, our community kitchen at the Sanctuary for Independent Media. Jonathan began cooking in college in student-run dining halls. He has been cooking for the Kitchen Sanctuary for a number of years, for visiting artists, the crew, and, of course, the community. Intaba is a graduate of Anne Marie Colbin's Natural Gourmet Cooking School and has been cooking and teaching classes using seasonal and whole ingredients for 25 years. Welcome, Jonathan and Intaba.
Thank you. Welcome for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yep, it's great to have you as guests in the first time in the Sanctuary radio as guests on the Hudson Mohawk Evening Magazine. I know you've been involved in the kitchen for a long time. Could you tell us what the kitchen's all about?
Well, there's always been a kitchen in this building, and I guess we've always used it as the Sanctuary has gone on. Though we've been using it more and more to feed visiting musicians and filmmakers and volunteers and the whole community.
Well, I'm really new to this organization, and I got pulled in by my partner, who knows Jonathan, and we became intrigued by his descriptions of what he was making here at the Sanctuary, and he'd come in like once a week or so and give us descriptions of these wonderful meals. And I think we actually started volunteering last spring and been here maybe half a dozen times so far, but really loving the work that they're doing here.
All right. Yeah, it seems that food can be a really powerful way of building community, bringing people together, and I guess where does the food come from that you cook in the kitchen?
A lot of it comes from the community garden right here on the block.
Could you tell us a little bit more about the garden?
Well, more and more has been growing. It started as, when I first got here, it was a vacant lot. And gradually people, both people in the sanctuary and folks in the neighborhood, got to transforming it to a garden, which was a slow process, slow growth over from 1 year to the next, up to now, when it's we'll bring in three different kinds of greens. I'll cook a greens dish with kale and chard and collard greens. A lot of zucchini coming up during the summer, and peppers and many different kinds of herbs.
Excellent. Yeah, that sounds delicious. So we thought to bring the two of you in today, as you're here preparing food for this weekend's Story Harvest celebration, mm-hmm. Which is a great big community event out in Freedom Square here in North Central Troy. Could you tell us anything about a little bit more about the event or the and how food is a part of it?
Well, the event itself has a good bunch of things going on. There'll be live music. There are a lot of community groups with tables representing different things and introducing their organizations. And it's one of the sanctuary's opportunities to cook for a couple hundred people. So we have a lot of volunteers for that.
Well, it looks like you're going to need them. I mean, you have a fair amount of stuff listed here that all looks extremely appetizing, like the salsa, the kale salad, the caprese salad, the andouille. Is that how you pronounce it?
Andouille.
I always butcher that one. Sausage. And various things. The rhubarb crisp crumble. Is there anything in are you really excited about some of the food that you're coming across this time of year with harvest coming in?
Yes, I think a lot of the menu is built around what's available in the garden right now. And there was a wonderful stream of emails that went out to a lot of the food-related satellite projects within the sanctuary. So I think it started with Azure, and she put out a list of what's in the garden now, what's going to be harvested, and when it's going to be available.
Yeah, one of the things that I really love about coming to the sanctuary is walking down the stairs in the back and walking by the kitchen, and right there, there's more often than not a display of produce and dishes that are just there for anybody who's here to enjoy and to sustain themselves, and it's really one of the fuels that that powers all of the magic that happens here.
Well, that's great. I know it's a big part of the hospitality vibe that we try to put out. And for volunteers, I've noticed it's one of the really easy ways for volunteers to become involved, that folks who might not be comfortable operating a camera can always come down and help me chop cucumbers.
Or wash dishes.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say wash dishes.
There's always a nice feeling in the kitchen. It's a place that many people have lots of memories of growing up and helping out in their family's kitchen, and also the garden connection, knowing like where the food came from, and having the opportunity to transform it and then feed it to people. There's something really deeply nourishing about that experience.
So I know only a little bit about your background, but that you went to Anne-Marie Colbin's Natural Gourmet Cooking School.
That's right.
So you're a chef in the area?
Yes, I am a chef at Four Seasons Natural Foods. It's a little vegetarian restaurant in Saratoga Springs.
Okay. What kinds of things do you make there? What do you love to make? And are there things that, you know, go back to cooking school or before that really kind of feed your soul?
Yeah. Well, I did my training back in 1993. So that gives you an idea. That was a few years ago.
Yeah.
And at that time I felt that I could change the world through food. Because there were a lot of studies that came out like in the late 80s, early 90s, and explored the connection between diet and health, and particularly as it relates to some of the persistent health problems that we have here in the West, like the three leading causes of death, which are like stroke, heart disease, and cancer. They all have a dietary component. And so either in recovery from those illnesses or as a preventative measure, the food that we eat has an enormous impact on our individual health, and I also think on our societal health. So that's something I always have come back to, because it seems so self-evident to me, but I feel like even though I've been doing this for 25 years, we still have a ways to go to really get that message out.
Yep. So I actually do some farming. I rent some land down in Del Mar, and I'm wondering, do you go kind of all in terms of like finding out what particular type of tomato, you know, you want to have grown, or do you have relationships with specific farmers in the area?
We do have the cafe that I cook at does have relationships with farmers. We've got four farmers now who are within a 20-mile radius of the cafe. And certain days in the week, we can count on having crates of produce show up in our cooler. And prior to working where I do now, I actually have had a restaurant of my own. And we were using 25 local producers, everything from like distilleries to vineyards and mushroom, wild mushroom foragers. And we had goat cheese and grain. Coast of the West, actually, traditionally is an area that grain was grown. So we're able to get local wheat and local flours. So, yeah, I think it's amazing and fantastic how many farmers are really taking up the, you know, the idea of providing for their communities.
What about yourself, Jonathan? Are you also kind of enmeshed in that whole growing process?
Well, I'm a city boy. I've been a late learner to this. And the more gardeners I hang out with, the more I've been learning about cooking, not just when dinner's coming up and people are coming over, but when things are in season and when things are coming out of the ground, that my gardener friends will see things coming out and see it's time to make some pesto or it's time to make some chutney. And that we'll have these things during the winter. This has been a relatively new thing for me, and I'm continuing to learn both from Intaba and from all the gardeners who come through here.
As we you mentioned being a city boy, Jonathan, and one thing I can't help but think of is our location here in North Central Troy, and thinking about the access that a lot of people may or may not have to fresh vegetables and fruits and healthy farm, you know, fresh farm-grown organic vegetables. And I think it's a really amazing thing what's being done right around here with the Collard City Gardens and bringing food production into an urban context.
It's interesting, whereas I've seen this area designated as a food desert, where, you know, if you're right here, good food is not right around the corner. You've got to make a trip to get it. And the paradoxical side of this is that there's some good small farms not so far away, and that their connections, some connections have been made. I've seen Denison Farm has brought us some great stuff. Part of the connections are the good local farms, connecting with the neighborhood and with the city. And part of it is, growing what we can on the little bit of space that we can do it with.
Really, there's an empowerment being able to grow food for yourself. And I remember, like, back in the 70s, the community garden movement really took off in a big way. Even in New York City, places where there were just, like, abandoned lots were converted by neighborhoods into beautiful, flourishing gardens. And I didn't see those so much, maybe 15 years ago, and now I'm starting to see them again. So it's really exciting.
Yep, I would certainly encourage folks that are interested in seeing those gardens to come and check out the Sanctuary's campus. An opportunity to do that this Saturday at the 7th annual Story Harvest Celebration from 3 to 6 in the afternoon at Freedom Square. And come check it out.
Definitely.
Thanks for having us on.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much.